Good morning, church. We're going to read today from Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes her linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Amen.
Proverbs 31. Seems almost unattainable, doesn't it? For the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about the Wonder Woman. If you're a comic book fan, if you're a comic book movie fan, you know that there's all kinds of virtuous things that come from those. There are some great quotes that come from those. In the comic book version of Wonder Woman, we read this: if loss makes you doubt your belief in justice, then you never truly believed in justice at all. Wonder Woman in the movies has also been known to say, what one does when faced with the truth is more difficult than you'd think. Also in the movies, Wonder Woman is told that you are stronger than you believe and you have greater powers than you know. I believe that that passage in Proverbs 31 helps women understand that they are stronger than they believe and have powers that they do not know, not from a comic book sense, but from a supernatural sense in the fact that Christ in them gives them that strength, that power, that purpose. Ladies, for the next couple weeks, I want you to hear one message loud and clear. Ladies, I want you to understand this morning and next Sunday morning that you are intimate and an intentional part of God's design and of God's creation. You are uniquely magnificent and uniquely wonderful. A little girl was in her Sunday school class, and the teacher was teaching them the story of Genesis 1 and the creation and the story of Adam and Eve. And she listens attentively and she finishes up and she goes home. And her mother is asking her, "What did you learn in Sunday school today?" She said, "Well, we talked about how God created Adam." And she said, "Well, what'd you think about that?" She said, "Well, I thought it was interesting that after God created Adam, he looked around and he said, I could probably do better. And so he created Eve." That was her takeaway. And kind of in a childlike sense, I think that's a beautiful representation of God's intent. Not that God could do better, but God himself looked at Adam and looked at his creation to that point. He said, you know, it's not good. Everything else he was pleased with. And so he created women, created female. Unfortunately, when we look at Proverbs 31, sometimes that passage may be more discouraging than encouraging. Because that passage is epic in its writing. It is epic in the standard that it sets. Jill Briscoe, in her book, The Queen of Hearts, writes this: "The Proverbs 31 passage has long stood as the Statue of Liberty in the harbor of the city of womanhood, welcoming all of those who flee from being anything less than perfect. But what if I have runs in my stockings? I know they weren't there when I left home, were they? What if I consistently lose one of my husband's socks or accidentally stain his favorite underwear or t-shirt in the washing machine? What happens when I sometimes regularly misplace my car in a parking lot? It's blue, sir. I know that it's blue. Is there any hope for me if I dream of writing a book about my small children called From Here to Insanity? Is there any hope for me if I am shaped more like a pillow than a post? Is there any hope for a woman if she is not everything she ought to be? Is there any hope for the woman who is facing this description of an excellent woman? What response do women have, or even men for that matter, encountering a life that is noble and lived to the fullest? Do we find ourselves filled with hope, or do we find ourselves sinking in hopelessness?" Proverbs 31 is undoubtedly designed to encourage, but let me help you understand the context a little bit from Proverbs 31. First of all, Proverbs 31 is not written by Solomon, as most of the rest of the Proverbs are. Verse 1 tells us that Proverbs 31 is written by King Lemuel. Unfortunately, we have very little information on who he is, or what he did, or why he was granted the opportunity to write Proverbs 31. But in verse 1, it says that he wrote this, and these are the oracles of things his mother taught him. I think that's interesting. Because what his mother was doing was laying out for him the framework for the kind of woman he should be looking for. And aren't moms like that? Don't moms typically set the standard ridiculously high in helping their children find a life's mate and a life's partner, finding somebody that they should marry? Every mom wants their son to marry the Wonder Woman. Every father wants his daughter to marry the Superman. And so remember, the woman that is described here is hypothetical. She's not actual. And she is the female personification of women that King Lemuel was taught by his mother. I commend his mother for instructing her son on the kind of wife he should look for. Every parent should instruct their children on the kind of spouse they should look for. But note this: your children in the selection of their mate is going to be better caught than taught. So parents, you should model to your children what kind of person they should be looking for in a spouse, you should be modeling the kind of person that they should be looking for in a mate. If you don't do that, if you don't model for your children the kind of spouse you want them to marry, don't be surprised when they come home with a loser. Proverbs 31 can seem overwhelming and unattainable, particularly when you break it down and go list by list. But there are characteristics that can be pulled out of here that should help every lady, every woman, every female live up to her intimate and intentional part of God's design and God's creation. We're going to look at one of those today, and it's broken down into three subcategories. The one characteristic that we're going to talk about today is that every woman can strive for better relationships. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you have children, whether you don't have children, every woman can strive to have better relationships. Over and over and over again, this passage talks about this lady and the context of the relationships that she is in. And so let's look at some of those. First is the relationship as a wife. Verse 10, verse 12, verse 23, and verse 28 talk about a wife of noble character. Who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband is full of confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. Her husband is respected in the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Her husband also praises her. Ladies, you are not one-dimensional. You are multifaceted. And as wife, there are some responsibilities that go with that. You say, well, I'm single. We're going to talk about singleness here in a few weeks. But first, you need to understand that you are more valuable than precious stones. You need to understand that you are more valuable than precious stones. You are a woman of worth. It doesn't matter what others have said about you. It doesn't matter what negative tapes you play in your own mind. It doesn't matter that you don't feel that way. The fact of the matter is, the reality is, the truth of the matter is that you, as God's created child, are more valuable than precious stones. Men, I need you to hear the passage and what it says. Your wife is more valuable than precious stones. Ladies, until you can come to a place in your life where you realize that you are more valuable than precious stones, and unless that can come from Christ inside of you and be portrayed outward, you're always going to feel like a second-class citizen, because you're always going to be looking for the establishment or other relationships in your life to make you feel that way. You are a daughter of the King. You are intimately and intentionally part of God's created design. And after He created you, we learn in the Genesis story that God was pleased and that it was good. Never underestimate your worth. Men, never underestimate their worth. She is more valuable than precious stones. Men, you should treat her accordingly. But ladies, also it says, in your role as wife, in your relationship as wife, that you should be good for your husband. I want to draw the distinction. We're not talking about just being good to your husband, but you should be good for your husband. She brings him good, not harm. Ladies, whether you realize it or not, you have the ability to build him up or tear him down, either intentionally or unintentionally. A great wife makes the difference between whether or not a man can succeed in life oftentimes or maximize his potential oftentimes. Because if a man feels loved in his home, if a man feels like his wife is good, not just to him, but is living her life to be good for him, there's something that happens inside a man that makes him almost seem invincible to the rest of the world. Ladies, love your husbands well. There's this short video going around, and it has different plot lines in various forms and sources, but you may have even seen it on social media. But it's the story of a president of a large insurance company, and he and his wife are taking this trip. And as they're taking the trip, they stop at the gas station, and he gets out and goes in, goes to the restroom, and goes get him a cup of coffee and probably a payday or a Snickers bar or something, as we are prone to do when we stop at the gas stations. And when he comes back out, he notices that his wife is talking to the gas station attendant, and they're having a grand old time. And as they part company, she hugs him, the gas station attendant, and gets back in the car before they drive off. And the husband says, well, that was an interesting encounter. That was an interesting exchange. Why in the world would you hug the gas station attendant? She says, friend of mine. He goes, we go way back. We actually dated in high school. And the husband, in his smug tone, laughs and said, huh, it's a good thing you didn't marry him. If you'd have married him, you'd have been married to a gas station attendant. And she said, no, if I'd have married him, he'd have been president of the insurance company, and you'd be the gas station attendant. This isn't in the Bible, but I'm not sure that it shouldn't be. But behind every man is a better woman. I believe that with all of my heart, because men need you in their life, and they need you to be good for them, not just good to them, but good for them. This is a partnership you enter into when you walk the aisle and in holy matrimony bring your relationship into right standing with God. Ladies, work on that part of the relationship. Be good for your husband, not just good to your husband. Men notice this. We learn very clearly that the husband compliments and praises the wife in this passage. Men, your words matter to your wife. Your tone of your words matter to your wife. Do you lift your bride up with your words? Do you exalt your wife with your tone? Do you and have you created an environment in your home where if you don't treat her right, and if you don't use the right words, and if you don't use the right tone, have you created the right environment in your home where she can sit you down and talk to you about that? Or is she afraid to talk to you about that? Men, do you lift your bride up with your actions? Are you good for her? Are you good to her? Does she still wait with longing and anticipation for you to walk through the door at the end of the day? Men, do you lift your bride up not only with your words and with your actions, but do you lift your bride up with your prayers? Here's how most men pray. Lord, I'm stuck. I've been stuck for years, and I don't feel like you're helping me any. Would you please just fix her? Couples go to counseling with the anticipation of having the other person fixed. Men, when you pray for your wife, you need to pray. Not for her, but for you in relation to her. Lord, help me be the kind of man that is not only good to her, but help me be the kind of man that is good for her. Help me know what I can do. Help me act on what needs to be done. Help me humble myself so that I can treat her as she deserves to be treated, so that I can treat her as precious jewels. Joseph Conrad wrote a book many years ago, entitled The Heart of Darkness. And in that book, he writes this: being a woman is a terribly difficult task. The reason it is a terribly difficult task is because it principally consists with dealing with men. Guys, don't be that. Be a blessing, not a curse. And I know You're already going Ephesians chapter 5 on me. I can hear it. Well, I'll treat her that way when she respects me like I deserve to be respected. No. One of the greatest nuggets of wisdom I have ever received from anybody, they said, you must love your wife for the glory of God. That's it. And if you will adopt a mentality that says, I will love my wife for the glory of God, then you can love her even when she doesn't respect you. Even when she's not respecting you. Ladies, you should try to respect him, even though he's not respect worthy sometimes. But verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 5 says that you mutually respect one another. And men, your responsibility is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Let's talk about that for a minute. Christ loved the church, which is his bride, to the point that he was willing to not only die on the cross for her, but he was willing to be rejected by all of mankind for her. He was willing to be mocked and humiliated and tried in a kangaroo court for her. He was willing to be stripped naked and paraded through the street and spit on for her. He is willing to have a crown of thorns placed on his head for her. He is willing to have a rod strike him on the head in that crown of thorns over and over and over again for his bride. He was willing to have people spit in his face and rip his beard from his chin for her. He was willing to be nailed to a cross for her. He was willing to be thrust in the side with a sharp Roman spear for her. Man, you are to love your bride like Christ loved the church for the glory of God. It's a tall order. It's a tall task. But being a husband, being a wife, being married is one of the most, if not the most holy covenant humans can make on this earth. And let me just say this morning that marriage is to be honored and the marriage bed not defiled, Hebrews tells us. Ladies, make marriage and make your role as wife a Wonder Woman role. And husbands, you rise up and be the Superman. All women aren't married. Some women are mothers. Married mothers, divorced mothers, widowed mothers. But ladies, you can improve your relationship role as a mom. She's like a merchant ship, 14 and 15, verse 28. She brings food from afar. She gets up while it's dark. She provides for her family. Her children rise and they call her blessed. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Most parents I know read that verse and go, because kids are exasperating. They really, really are. There's another passage that says your quiver needs to be full of them. Are you kidding me? I had two and they ran me ragged. I don't know how you deal with more than two. God must provide. They're a gift from the Lord and they're a reward from him. But if you've got them, then you're responsible for them. And part of your responsibility is to raise your kids to be empowered and not entitled. And so as mom, how do you help raise your kids to be empowered, not entitled? Empowered children are not afraid to speak. They're not afraid to be assertive. They're not afraid to reach for their dreams. But when you give kids too much power, you turn kids from empowered to entitled. Ed Young Jr. wrote a great book several years ago entitled Kids CEO. And in that book, he talks about what happens when your kid runs the household. And as you can imagine, it doesn't have a happy ending. Empowered children have a strong sense of self. They have passions and hobbies and ambitions. In contrast, entitled children remain dependent, But yet they are bossy and they are unsatisfied. Psychiatrists recently got together and they published an article together in Parents Magazine on raising entitled children. The formula is pretty simple. Children become entitled when parents give them everything they want. They don't tell them no. They don't make them wait. They don't make them earn anything. Children become entitled when you allow them to be disrespectful to you, both in the home and outside the home, because in doing so, you teach them that it is okay to be disrespectful to other adults, both inside and outside the home. There's a reason the scripture asks us to use the rod on the behind of the children. It helps instill a component of respect. The article also talks about the fact that parents refuse to let their children fail. Watching your kids fail is one of the hardest and worst things you can ever do. But it is so much better to let them fail when they're little than it is to let them fail when they are big. Don't be afraid of your children failing at something. Because if you swoop in and protect them from their failures, when they get out into the real world and they fail, the real world's going to be very hard on them. It is okay to let them fail, particularly in the loving, protected confines of your nurture. You raise entitled children when you make excuses for their poor choices. If your kid did it, they did it. I'm married to an educator. KHOU just did a 3-night expose on teachers in the classroom. And one of the things that the teachers kind of boiled everything down to, the reason they did the expose is because behaviors in Houston area schools in elementary are off the chart and things that they have never seen before ever. I'm like, you didn't have to tell us. We live it every single day. And one of the bottom lines that the teachers came up with is that no matter what happens in the classroom, it is always the teacher's fault according to the parents. Raise your kids and make them own their poor choices. This next one's hard. Because the next one says if you want to raise entitled kids, then you will prioritize your children over your spouse. And if you prioritize your children over your spouse, you set them up as being in charge of the household. Not only is it not psychologically healthy, but it's not biblical. Ladies, your priority is Christ first. In Matthew chapter 22, a lawyer came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus says, "The greatest commandment, simple, is that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind, and a second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." Your highest priority is to love Christ. But your second highest priority is to love your spouse and to give them that place of honor and respect in the home. And your children come in under that. So many families have it backwards. The kids are the highest priority in the home. If you want to raise entitled kids, prioritize them over your spouse. It goes back to point one. If you don't live the kind of example that you want your children to marry, it's better caught than taught. If you want to raise entitled children, then just keep Jesus at a minimal distance. Just participate in religion, but don't buy in completely. Participate in spiritual things, but don't sell your life out for it. Participate on Christmas and Easter, but don't give yourself to the God of the universe and to the Christ who came to save you. Again, if you don't sell out for Christ in your own spiritual walk, your children are never going to do that. Because it's better caught than it is taught. Mark chapter 10. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus. Parents, your responsibility is to bring your children to Jesus. Be intentional with helping them find Christ who saved them. Why? So He could touch and bless them. If you want Jesus' touch on your children's life, and if you want Jesus' blessings on your children's life, you need to be intentional about making sure your children see Jesus in you. Are you going to be perfect? No. But is that going to be the goal of your heart? Is that going to be the intention of your family? Is that going to be the goal of your household? Yes. And if it is, you find successes. But the disciples scolded the parents who were bothering him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let these children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, if anyone does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, they will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. Get them on the path from infancy. Start them out in the way that they should go. Because if you will start them out on the right path, in the way that they should go, then when they are old, they will not stray from it. But if you haphazardly just try to get your children to find Jesus, not going to work. As a mom, be intentional. Because you were intentionally and intimately part of God's design. And your relationships are important as wife, as mother, but also as servant. Verse 20 says, she opens her arms to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. She's a servant. She's a friend. She's committed when there's somebody in need. Here's a woman that looks all around and sees people in need and she is willing to step in. Notice she doesn't give money to the poor. Notice she doesn't bring clothing or food to the needy. It says she opens her arms. That means she gives them the gift of being present. Ladies, in your relationships, whether they're at home, whether they're at work, whether they're on your street, whether they're in the school district where your kids go, learn how to give the gift of being present. There is so much hurt in this world. There are so many people who are so disconnected from the things of God in this world. Each one of us, men and women alike, by the way, can and should do a better job of being present in people's lives. I quoted Matthew 22 earlier. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ladies, you are a wonderful gift created by God. You are an intimate and intentional part of His design. We are all created to be in relationships. And so as a wife, increase in your intentionality. As a mother, increase in your intentionality. As a servant, increase in your intentionality. Focus on being present for your husband. Focus on being present for your children. Focus on being present for those around you that are hurting. In the comic books and in the comic movies, none of the superheroes got where they are on their own. Wonder Woman didn't get where she was on her own. She had help. She had help from men. She had help from women. And in almost every superhero case, there's help from a supernatural source somewhere. The supernatural source that we talk about is Christ and Christ alone. And so, ladies, let Jesus help you. And He promises us that if you will make Him your highest priority, then you can become a woman of wonder. That's His goal for you. As a wife, as a mom, as a servant. Same goes for you, men. As a husband, as a father, as a servant. Ladies, you are intimately and intentionally part of God's design. Let me encourage you to embrace that this morning. As we sing, and as you have an opportunity to just embrace the beauty of who you are in Christ and how He wants your relationships to grow and develop and blossom in and through you.